Welcome to Ed Research Matters, the University of Chicago Consortium on School Research's exclusive podcast series. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jessica Puller, Communications Specialist here at the Consortium. By the early 1990s, a new school reform law had mandated decentralization of the Chicago public schools, putting more power and resources into the hands of local leaders to develop successful solutions for their schools. There was no blueprint for this, and thus not surprising that a diverse array of approaches took shape. By 1994, Chicagoans began to see a large group of elementary schools taking off in terms of their growth in their standardized test scores, but other schools were stagnating. The big question was why. Researchers at the consortium began to investigate this phenomenon to see what factors differentiated the improving schools from the stagnating schools. We're here today in the consortium offices at the University of Chicago, and joining me to share these findings and bring them up to date are Penny Sebring, co-founder of the consortium, and Molly Gordon, principal investigator of the most recent study in this line of research. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
As we just heard, the school reforms and district decentralization that happened in Chicago in the 1990s presented a unique opportunity to study school improvement. Listeners may be familiar with the book about the study, Organizing Schools for Improvement, Lessons from Chicago. Penny, as one of the authors of the report, why don't you start by telling us about the five essential supports and what the improving elementary schools were doing to produce better student outcomes?
Well, the improving elementary schools generally were much stronger in five domains of practice, which we call the five essential supports. These are effective leadership, collaborative teachers, involved families, a supportive environment, and ambitious instruction. And if you think about it, the classroom is where learning takes place. But how successful a teacher is going to be with his or her students depends very much on the other aspects of the school organization. And I can define these a bit more. And here I'm drawing on our book, which you mentioned, Organizing Schools for Improvement, Lessons for Chicago. The first essential support is effective leadership. This means that the principal takes a strategic approach toward strengthening the other four essential supports while simultaneously nurturing the social relationships embedded in the day-to-day work of the school. This is so important for building trust. The principal works with the teachers to improve instruction while at the same time promoting support for change. And in the process, the principal is really cultivating other leaders, teachers, parents, and community members who can take responsibility and help expand the reach of the improvement efforts. The second essential support is collaborative teachers. This refers to the quality of the faculty recruited to the school, their base beliefs about change, the quality of ongoing professional development that they receive, and the capacity of the whole staff to work together. The third essential support is involved families. The school staff reaches out to families and the community to engage them in the work of strengthening student learning. The staff views parents as partners in their children's learning, and they report that the parents treat them with respect. Mm-hmm. A supportive environment is the fourth essential support. And this means that there are clear and consistently enforced expectations for student behavior. And that's going to make it much more likely that students receive maximum instructional time. Teachers hold students to high expectations, but at the same time, they also provide them considerable individual attention and support. And the final and the fifth essential support is ambitious instruction. And this means that teachers are working on basic skills, but they move beyond these also to ask students to do intellectually challenging work. Students may organize and plan their tasks, monitor their own progress, and oftentimes work in teams.
Okay, it stands to reason that these areas of practice would be important to school success, but can you talk about how you know these are the areas that really matter?
So we started with the standardized test scores in reading and math for 3rd through 8th graders from 1990 to 2005. For each student, we were able to determine how much is learned from one year to the next and whether these learning gains increased over time. Then we aggregated the information to the school level so we could determine the degree to which schools contribute to the students' learning over time. Then we created and administered teacher and student surveys, and that permitted us to capture the essential support practices in the school and whether they were weak or strong. For example, regarding supportive environment, we asked students about their safety. How safe did they feel in their classrooms, in the hallways, outside around the school, and traveling between home and school? With all this information, then, we could test our hypothesis, which was that schools strong in the five essential supports are more likely to show increasing learning gains than our schools weak in the essential supports. First, we looked at each individual support by itself. We found in general that schools that were strong in each domain were more likely to show improvements in learning gains in both reading and math. For example, 43% of the schools that teachers rated as strong in leadership improved in reading, but only 11% of schools weak in leadership showed improvements in reading. Similarly, 40% of schools strong in family involvement showed substantial improvement in reading, compared to only 10% of the schools weak in family involvement. Then we moved on to look at schools that were strong in simultaneously in 3 to 5 supports. For example, strong in leadership, collaborative teachers, and a supportive environment. The results were pretty dramatic. Schools with strength in 3 to 5 essential supports were 10 times more likely to improve in reading and math than schools weak in most supports. And again, giving an example, 50% of the schools strong in at least 3 supports improved substantially in reading, while only 5% of schools weak in 3 or more supports improved in reading. Then we decided to look at schools over time, and we examined the impact of being weak in even just one essential support for 3 years. We found that such weakness seriously undermined the probability that schools would improve in reading and math gains. We concluded that there is a convincing and consistent association between strength in the 5 essentials and improvement in reading and math gains. We had a longtime colleague, John Katsakis, who was vice president of the Chicago Teachers Union, and he had a great metaphor for all of this. He said that improving a school is like baking a cake. So what kind of cake would you get if you forgot the eggs or the baking powder? Not a very good one. Similarly, what kind of progress can we expect a school to make if we neglect some of the essential supports, like family involvement or collaborative teachers? It just won't work.
That is a great metaphor. Thank you for that, Penny. All right, let's switch gears a bit here and talk about the consortium's more recent research study, which looked at the 5 essentials in schools across Illinois. With us is one of the lead authors on that study, Molly Gordon.
Hi, Jessica.
Molly, could you tell us a little bit about what prompted the consortium to do further research on the 5 essentials across the entire state of Illinois?
Yeah, sure. So as Penny mentioned, all of the work done for the book relied on data in elementary and middle schools in Chicago. But we've been curious for a long time about what we would learn by examining a larger, more diverse set of schools. So, for example, the first study was only done in Chicago, in urban context. So we were curious about how the 5 essentials might look like in rural schools or small towns, for example. Also, the original study only examined elementary and middle schools, so we are curious about what the 5 essentials look like in high schools. Luckily, we are able to look at these kinds of differences because in the spring of 2013, teachers and students in nearly 4,000 Illinois schools took the 5 essentials survey. So we were able to analyze the survey responses from students and teachers across Illinois.
Can you say a little bit more about the statewide survey?
Sure. The survey responses we are talking about come from surveys taken by teachers in all grade levels and students in grades 6 to 12 across the state in 2013. All in all, we are able to examine survey responses from approximately 85% of Illinois schools.
What are some of the key findings from your most recent study?
Sure. Well, first, we examined differences across types of communities, Chicago, other cities, towns, and rural areas, and an interesting picture emerged, actually. Compared to other types of communities in Illinois, Chicago was the strongest on 3 of the essential supports: effective leaders, collaborative teachers, and ambitious instruction. At the same time, it was very weak on family involvement. We think, in part, this is due to a set of questions we asked students about their neighborhood. So high levels of crime in some Chicago neighborhoods probably explain why Chicago students answered less positively than students in other parts of the state. Suburban areas, then, had the largest percentage of schools strong on family involvement compared to schools located in other contexts. We did not see many differences in terms of the collaborative teachers essential, but when it came to instruction, we found that urban and suburban communities have a much higher proportion of schools strong in instruction compared to schools in towns and rural areas. However, it would be a mistake to exaggerate the disadvantages rural schools face outside of Chicago. They are the most likely to be strong and effective leaders.
Did you find other differences in the five essential supports across the state?
Yes. We looked at both school size and socio-demographic characteristics of the school communities. As far as elementary school size, our findings were similar to what was found in the original Chicago study, namely that larger elementary schools are more likely than smaller elementary schools to be weak in three or more essentials. This suggests to us that smaller elementary schools have an advantage over larger elementary schools in their ability to create organized learning environments for students. We found a much more complex pattern at the high school level, however. It appears that high school students in the state are more likely to experience strong organizational learning climates if they attend either very small or very large high schools, and less so if they attend a medium-sized high school with, say, between 5 to 700 students. We speculate this might be because students in very small high schools might feel more connected and engaged, while students in much larger high schools may have more access to high-quality teachers with specialized subject matter expertise. Students in mid-sized schools, then, on the other hand, may not be able to capitalize on the connectedness that a small school brings or have access to resources like a large high school. When we looked at differences in the five essentials in the socioeconomic environment of school communities, we had similar findings from the original study. Schools, both elementary and high schools, located in socioeconomically disadvantaged communities were much less likely to be strong in the essentials compared to schools located in more affluent communities.
Could you tell us a bit about what it means for a school to have a strong or weak essential supports? Why is this important?
Yeah, sure. Well, it's important because we know that the five essentials are related to student outcomes. Although the Illinois study did not include multiple years of data, we continue to find that strength in the essential supports is positively related to important student outcomes. Although the strength of these relationships varied, meaning that the five essentials were more strongly related to some of the outcomes than others. So the strongest relationship we found was with elementary and middle school test score gains. We also found that attendance was modestly better in schools with strong essential supports. And for high schools outside of Chicago, we do see a modest relationship between the five essentials and attendance rates, ACT scores, and graduation rates, although this relationship is much stronger in CPS high schools. The essential supports are the largest associations with student outcomes, our supportive environment, involve families, and ambitious instruction. This makes sense because these domains capture the direct work teachers and parents do with students.
So ultimately, what do you hope people take away from this study?
Sure. Well, we hope schools and communities recognize that there is no silver bullet for improving student outcomes. Schools need to be working diligently to strengthen their practices across the organization if they are going to raise student achievement. Most parents want their children to attend schools where principals are effective, where teachers offer challenging instruction, where parents, teachers, and the principals trust each other, and where teachers and peers support students' academic pursuits. Our findings show that not every family or student has access to a school that has all of these important organizational learning conditions.
Well, we're out of time, but I want to thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much, Jessica.
And for those of you listening, you can download a copy of this recent report on our website at consortium.uchicago.edu. Thank you all for joining us. I'm Jessica Puller, and this has been Ed Research Matters, the University of Chicago Consortium on School Research's exclusive podcast series.